Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student of MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I go to school at Leibri, and I live in Elizaville.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookishly.
All that good stuff. And today is our first virtual meeting.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay. I'm not sure whether or not I'm excited about it.
I've ever been to, actually. Well, like, it's the first meeting, but like, I've talked to my friends before.
It's just weird, we can all say that.
It's just a bit new.
Yeah,
new and a little weird.
So how are you all feeling about what's going on in the world?
Meh, at least I get more time to talk with my family.
Yeah,
that's the good
thing. It's a bit weird to have to do schoolwork from home, but
yeah.
And also, but we've also got a lot more time to read. I have a lot more free time.
Oh, yeah.
So do we all have any books that we've been reading over this sudden break from school?
Me.
You want to go first, AJ?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's this book. It's Perfectly Normal. And it's about changing bodies, growing up, sex, and sexual health. Hmm. Not exactly a choice book, but I just like going. I just like reading about it. I will not show the pictures. Don't worry.
It's just those are one of those books that your parents have definitely forced you or tried to get you to read at some point. I've never read any of them that my parents have given me.
Well, you should start with this series because.
Okay.
Well, there are some pictures, but it doesn't show every little solitary detail. Plus, it just gives you the overall, not, like, every detail.
Okay.
You want to have, like, these big books of it?
Yeah.
Are you learning some good stuff?
Sort of. Ish, maybe. Because some of that I read over and over and over and over, so I'm not exactly learning new stuff. Because I think I've read this book about 1, 2, 1,000, 2,000, 5 million, 10 million, 1 billion, 2 million.
I don't know if I have any of those kinds of books from when I was, like, small, but I don't know. I'd have to look pretty hard for them if I had any of them.
I had one growing up. I forget what it was called, but it was all, you know, about puberty and sexuality and, like, talking about, like, where babies come from and, like, stuff like that. And it had these little cartoon images that were so funny that I just loved looking at the pictures when I was a kid.
The picture. Those pictures in those books are always hilarious.
I have very vivid memories of all the pictures.
I'm reading a much more depressing book than that. I'm still reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Okay.
It's still required reading. I've, like, slowed down reading it and, like, have looked into other books because I really have no idea when I'm supposed to finish it now since everything has been thrown out of whack, but I'm still reading it. I'm about halfway through it and it's pretty good. It is a biography written by Heather Morris about a Jew in Auschwitz named Lael who gets the job of the tattooist who puts the numbers on the prisoners' wrists. And so it is a real story and it's pretty depressing, but it's very well written.
Was the character before she had that role at Auschwitz, was she a tattooist before?
It's a male character. It pretty much tells the story straight from when he's loaded on the transport to when he shows up at Auschwitz. And very soon after that, he becomes the tattooist's assistant. And then that tattooist disappears and is most likely killed. So he becomes the head tattooist and gets his own assistant.
Well, not exactly one of my favorite ideas of careers, but...
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. I'm only halfway through it. It's a true story, and it's depressing to read, but it's well-written, so that, like, I don't know how to describe it. You know, it's not a book you'd read for fun, but it's a book you'd read to, like, have an experience. Of course, now I get to take more breaks from that, which is nice, because I don't feel like being sad all the time. So I've started reading a book that I've actually read before. This book has such an interesting story behind it. There is a YouTuber named Mr. Creepypasta who does story narrations on YouTube a lot. And a couple years ago, he managed to get his own book published with a bunch of his favorite stories that he's narrated in that book from multiple different authors, online authors who write under, you know, pen names and publish their work directly to the internet. And he made a printed book called The Creepypasta Collection, Modern Urban Legends You Can't Unread. I've got my dad to start reading it finally because I really wanted him to see some of them. And I've been reading a few of my favorite stories in it just for fun. But yeah, I believe he has a second book out and I have it, but I have not yet read it, a second collection out. But that's what I'm reading in between sessions of The Tattooist of Auschwitz. I'm reading The Creepypasta Collection.
Nice break from the serious material.
Yeah, I love horror, so yeah, for me, it definitely is a break. I know for not everyone would like to immediately jump into horror, but I love it, and I have, like, quite a few favorite stories from it.
What's your favorite story about?
Oh, my favorite story? I think my favorite story in the book is called The Horror from the Vault. It's written in a format of a bunch of emails and interviews between people, kind of like Dracula. And I love stories that are written in, like, little segments like that. So you have to kind of, like, piece together what's going on. So you got this story about a couple archaeologists who dig up a vault and a sarcophagus in the vault. So they take it back. They do testing on it. It doesn't match any metal in real life. And then it switches perspectives to a police interview where the police is talking about finding their lab in ruin, not finding any of the scientists alive. The sarcophagus is, like, destroyed. Something's broken out of it, and it goes on from then to figure out, like, what this thing is that's broken out of the sarcophagus and is now terrorizing this little town that they're in. So I love it because of the way it's written. I love it because of stuff that happens in it. I think it's legitimately creepy.
That's interesting.
I love it very much.
How about you, Lena? Have you been reading anything, or what have you been enjoying?
I haven't read anything because I've actually gotten myself into this new series. It's not even from Netflix or Hulu. It's from YouTube, and it's good.
What's it called?
My Inner Demons, made by Aphmau. It's one of those cringy series.
I know what she's talking about. A lot of YouTubers like to make their own little series of, like, almost like rom-coms or reality TV shows. And they're a lot of fun. I watch them sometimes when I, like, draw or something.
Yeah.
I've been actually spending a lot of my time listening to YouTube narrations rather than actually really reading, because I have recently had to do artwork at home and then upload it for my college drawing class. So when I don't have time to read something myself, I will listen to a narration of a short story, usually, once again, horror, and I will draw while doing that, because obviously I can't read and draw at the same time. It's unfortunate, but my two favorite hobbies I cannot do at the same time for that ultimate favorite hobby. Yeah. So instead I listen to things. And I have gotten into actually my own YouTube series as well. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm working on my next YouTube video.
Oh yeah? You're making one?
I think I'm actually subscribed to your channel, but I can't remember if I am or not. I'll have to check later.
Yeah, but, like, it's going, like, my channel, when I look back at my videos, like, when I watch it, like, if I posted it, like, 1 second ago, I'm like, oh, God, this is cringy. This is good for my channel.
You're always your own, like, harshest critic. I know I don't like any of the videos that I posted or artwork that I posted on my YouTube channel. As for why it's always horror, it's because it's my favorite genre. It's always been my favorite genre of story. It's my favorite genre to write in creative writing.
Why do you choose horror against the others? Is this because that you like just, like, scaring yourself?
Because I've watched and read so much horror, I think it's more of, like, an obsession now to where I want to find something that will really scare me. There is one series that I've always gone back to, which is another internet story series. And usually it's the internet series nowadays, rather than professionally made movies or published books that actually do manage to scare me. Because while movies have a rating system and books have to appeal to publishers, something that someone publishes on the internet really has no filter and no censorship to the point where they can do whatever they want. So the one thing that I have like come back to over and over again and has never failed to scare me is a series called Cabin in the Woods, which is narrated by a YouTuber called Bebusta, which was originally published on Reddit, actually. It's a 7-part series. It's pretty long, but if you have nothing to do, you can probably blast through it real quick. It's about a man. It's narrated from a man's perspective, and his wife's family owns a cabin in the woods that they spend some nights at. And when they come back to their home, they find out that something may have followed them from the cabin, a spirit or something. So one, I'm usually not scared by paranormal stuff in that genre. I prefer like true crime or like body horror kind of things. But this is a paranormal horror story, and it actually manages to scare me, which is why I keep coming back to it. It has a good buildup. It actually concludes, which is something that you don't always get with something published on the internet, because unfortunately, if the author gets bored, it's very easy to just abandon their story, and then you never get a conclusion. But this one actually has a solid ending, and actually a couple false endings in there. So you're always engaged, you're always into it. It was very good, and I always listen to it when I can't find anything else to listen to.
Well, at least you have something to do over this break, because I know like a lot of people in the city who are in very, very, very small apartments.
Oh, yeah, people in the city can't go out at all.
And even if they do try and get it delivered to them, it's like, and even mom now, she has to leave the cardboard out for like 7 hours, and then she wears gloves and a mask, and then she scrubs it over.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people are becoming very scared.
And then she scrubs it again and again and again and again until I think that this cardboard's going to wear away, and then there's going to be nothing. And then she wears away the packages itself.
You gotta be careful.
Once I was afraid that mom was going to scrub all the pages of my book that was going to be delivered, because I was like, water, paper, no go.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about the stuff inside the packages, but you should at least like probably wash your hands after taking packages from outside, especially in New York City, where I think it's like pretty bad. I mean, everyone is together, obviously. Everyone, I think, in there can't really go anywhere because we live in like a small, like, kind of spread out neighborhood. Me and my mom can like take walks every so often, which is really nice, because mentally I think everyone needs to like actually get out every once in a while. Just be careful about it. But yeah, it must be really hard for people who live in like apartment buildings and like small areas. And it's probably really rough. I know the school is like giving out free meals still for people who rely on that, and that's nice that they do that for people. But yeah.
Even though some people, like one of my friends from 6th grade in New York City, Mara, she has a garden in the back of her area, but then there's someone else has like a balcony right above it, I think, and a balcony below, so she still has to be really careful.
Yeah, you should wash anything that like comes out of your garden anyway. I was never able to get a garden to grow. It's never something I've succeeded at.
Well, I'm not the type for gardening, and besides, everyone in the city is going to Central Park because it's so big, but the problem is almost the rest of New York City is thinking that, so they all go to one huge place, and it is packed with people, so everyone's going to Central Park. I think it's safer to stay in your home than go to Central Park.
But yeah, the whole point of the social distancing thing is to stay indoors, but yeah. It's rough sometimes. It's kind of like, it's hard to stay away from everyone. But you do get to read books when you stay away from everyone. So that's part of the fun, I guess.
And the reason why we're here.
Yeah. Does anyone else have any books to talk about? Oh my gosh. The Love of My Life. Yes.
Which one?
This Bone. Week. Yeah, which number is it, actually?
Crown of Thorns.
Is that the 10th one?
Which is the 9th book. And
ninth one.
I only have the first one. I want to read all the rest, but I don't care if I skip around a bit. I just like looking at the pictures, not really the storyline as much.
Yeah.
I love the pictures and the storyline. But I've been reading it really slowly, and I've really been reading it occasionally, like maybe a couple books a year. And so I finally finished it. There are some other books in the Bone universe, but this is the end of the like main storyline. So I think there's another one that takes that's maybe a, I can't remember if it's a sequel or a prequel. And then there's like Bone Tale of the Spark or something like that.
I had no idea they had extra books.
Is there one where they are in Boneville?
I don't know.
Like a prequel? I don't think so. I had no idea there were even extra books. I had no idea.
For those listening who haven't heard of it before, it's the Bone series by Jeff Smith. And I would say it's geared towards middle grade or teenagers. And it's the story of some characters known as Bones. They're bone characters. They're these little, you should just look up a picture of them, but they look like kind of like skeleton-y, but not skeletons. They're just like,
they look like comic strip characters almost, like what you'd see in a newspaper.
They're just like these white shapes that have faces and hands and things. And so there's three bones, Bone Bone, Phony Bone, and Smiley Bone, and they're cousins, and they've been kicked out of Boneville at the start of the series because Bone is always getting them into trouble. And so they are off, like, making their way outside of Boneville, and then they get separated. And that starts an adventure where our main character is Phone Bone, and he meets some human characters, and he meets some other animal characters in the forest, and some fantastical characters along the way. There's dragons and rat creatures.
There are dragons. There are dragons in this book. I remember that vividly.
I'm a big fan of the rat creatures, personally.
Oh, I love the rat creatures too.
I don't, they're not my favorite, but they're not my least favorite thing. But
they're so cute. It.
But not
so cute.
Also,
I just gave JJ a picture, if anyone's wondering.
But also, what was that cloak thing at the end of the first book? Like the cloak thing was talking to Phony Bone.
But there's some.
I need to reread these because I don't actually remember the cloak thing.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure, but there is at least one cloaked character in the book that's a bit of a creepy villain character. It might be that one. But it's a fun mix of like sometimes it's really funny and silly, and then sometimes it's really intense and scary or dramatic at least. And I love the artwork. It's like this weird mix of cartoony and more realistic. And it's very fun. So. I finally finished it. And next up, my next graphic novel is going to be Ghosts, because Lena's been suggesting it for a year. So I figured I should finally read it. Oh, I have something I can tell you all about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So with a lot of people being stuck at home, there's a lot of companies out there and organizations that are making things available for free for young people in particular, but also for adults. And Audible is one of those. So Audible is like a subscription audiobook series that you usually have to pay for. And they've started up a site called stories.audible.com. And it has a lot of free books that you can listen to that are geared towards kids and teens. And they even have some in other languages. So you can listen in Spanish, Italian, German.
Well, that might be good to help. Because my mom speaks Italian, and it would just help me be able to understand, like, daily life words.
I have read about a lot of companies giving out, like, 30 days free or several days free for, like, people just to do in their house.
When you said Spanish, it actually kind of reminded me, I really want to learn, like, more about, like, Mexican stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I want to learn how to speak more Spanish because I'm not that good at speaking it.
Well, there's one thing that we all know about Spanish, how to say hello. That's, like,
yeah,
everyone's
pretty
easiest.
Much.
Yeah.
I would like to learn more Spanish, possibly. My dad's also trying to learn because it was his first language, but he kind of lost it after he got into school. My dad and his whole side of the family is Puerto Rican. If he had, like, kept it, I think he said that I would have probably been taught Spanish and English growing up. But yeah, Spanish is interesting because depending on what dialect you're talking in, like I've because I'm Puerto Rican, I grew up knowing that pasteles were these things like cooked in a plantain leaf, and it's like mushy and it's good and it's yummy. But then I get to school where they teach you that the word pasteles means pastries or dessert. And I'm just like, no, that's not correct. What are you talking about? Yes. That's the opposite of deliciousness wrapped in a plantain leaf. But yeah, it's very interesting.
Lena, have you thought about how you're going to practice your Spanish?
No, I don't want to go on Duolingo because it's like, oh, you're doing great. Okay, I don't care now.
Duolingo will bombard you with notifications, and I know a lot of people don't like it because of that.
Yeah, and also my friend keeps on bothering me. She's like, you're learning Spanish, right? So open Duolingo, and something bad will happen. Duolingo will get mad at you and probably try to hurt you. And I'm like,
that's like the joke. That's the joke that the Duolingo owl gets angry if you miss your lessons because it sends you so many notifications that that's become like a kind of joke that like the owl will get you. I love. It's so funny. So funny to me.
I actually don't have to worry about that much because any time that mom can, she talks to me in Italian. And it's actually kind of cool because I understand what she's saying most of the time. Like 64% of the time I understand without having to say, huh?
Yeah, that's like when you've grown up around it enough, you might not know how to speak it, but you can like pretty much understand it. My dad like works that way with Spanish too. He can understand Spanish if it's spoken to him. He just cannot speak it back to whoever's talking to him.
I took Spanish in high school, so I have some knowledge and some vocabulary that I've retained, but there's a couple things that I like to do to practice. Well, I guess three things I like to do to practice Spanish. One is when I'm with my Spanish speaking friends, I like to try to speak with them in Spanish as much as possible. And then if I have trouble with a word, I just ask them, you know, como se dice blank, like whatever word it is, like, how do I say this in Spanish? And then I also like to read bilingual books, especially children's books, because the, you know, it's short. So I don't have to read a full novel in a language that's not my primary language, which would be very difficult and take a long time. But there's some kids' picture books that have the English and the Spanish side by side, so you can read it in one language first and then see the other and kind of figure out how it's being translated.
I had a poetry book like that with the Spanish and English poetry. I think my dad brought it back from Puerto Rico one time.
I have that with Shakespeare too, except just English and Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's just English and English intense.
And then the other thing I like to do, which I don't do this often enough, but it's a fun thing to do, is just to like see if you can add subtitles in Spanish to something that you're watching. And then it doesn't even have to be in Spanish. It could be something in English, but then you just happen to see the words in Spanish underneath.
One of my first Spanish teacher ever had us watch Matilda with Spanish subtitles. And then my next Spanish teacher had us watch a Spanish soap opera, a telenovela, without subtitles. And it was so dramatic. And it was like an episode from like the middle of the soap opera. So it was insane.
What's a soap opera?
A soap opera and a telenovela are basically the same thing. The telenovelas are just Spanish. A soap opera, you can like tell something's a soap opera because all the audio sounds like this. And everyone can be like, all their S's are very... And it's just ridiculously dramatic for the sake of being ridiculously dramatic. There are affairs. There are marriages and there are divorces and everything is intense and insane and over dramatic and overacted, and it's incredibly entertaining for some reason. And there's like really dramatic music playing in the background all the time, and usually the footage is really grainy and weird. And that's what I know about soap operas, at least from watching them on hotel TVs when I'm bored and happen to stumble across one. The two kinds of things to watch in a hotel room are soap operas and documentaries.
When I first heard about soap operas, because I've been to an opera before, I literally thought that they were while they were washing themselves.
Singing from the bath.
Oh my God.
We're actually about out of time for today, but it's been really nice.
No!
You can talk more if you want after we wrap up the show.
But we can.
We hope everyone out there listening is doing well, being safe, keeping healthy, and keeping themselves sane while staying indoors a lot. Maybe get some fresh air if you can do so in a safe manner. But we hope everyone has lots of great books to read. And if not, we have some online resources on our library website, hudsonarealibrary.org. You can borrow ebooks and e-audio. You could check out stories.audible.com for some free kids geared books. We'll be back next week to talk about some more.
Yay!
Have a good week and happy listening. Happy reading.
Bye.
See you.
ता कुछ और करता है और लेता है क्यों तू दिल पे जोर बदला बदला कोरी सी रात को भर दे आज तू खोल दे सब राज राज बह जा गुपचुप सा क्यों है तू ये बता कुछ तो हंसी को दे जगा बेवजह बेवजह खोए खोए बेपरवाह साथ सदा